ready for baseball to start.
So am I.
Because it's the only non-embarrassing Cleveland team right now. But who knows how long that'll last. Can we just trade the Cavs for the hockey team? I've wanted to do that for a while.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Just make the Cleveland, just give them all ice skates. How much worse could that be? This is a video game podcast, though, don't worry. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for February 5th, 2014. This is Michael Minotti. I'm joined by my brother AJ.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going good.
Good, good, good. So what are we talking about this week? I feel like you have a better handle on it than I do this week.
Square Enix and Nintendo. There's something else. Steam.
Yeah. Sorry, just these are very vague concepts. They happen to these people, or did we just pick company names out of a hat?
It was a shoe, actually.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, yeah, well, we got some things to talk about there. Then our weekend gaming, a little something on the community, not much, and that'll be it. So let's get going then. So, what was this about Nintendo you were talking about?
So, one of the crazy things they've said they want to do now is, for future platforms, I don't know when this would happen, they want to unify their OS, a la, like, the iPad, iPhone.
Right. So that
this means they could truly, like, make one game and have it be on both systems.
Well, isn't this kind of playing into that Nintendo Fusion rumor?
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of plays into that heavily.
That's true.
I think...
We never really talked about that, did we? On the show.
Did we not?
I don't think we did.
Well, that was a thing. But, I think that whether, like, That rumor was suspected because it happened like a week after their financial report came out. So I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah, come on. But I definitely think that would be a very smart thing to do, is to kind of unify the mobile and console markets.
Cause that's like, it's kind of like a weird thing people, like I don't know if it's, how do I want to put this? It's almost a misconception about the Vita, because everyone's like, you see a few games come out from Sony that are cross-buy. Someone's like, why isn't everything cross-buy? It's like, well, that's like saying, why isn't an Xbox and a PS3 game cross-buy? Like, they're not the same, even though Sony kind of makes it look like that sometimes.
Right.
So if they truly were, well, then cross-buy becomes a no-brainer.
Yeah, but, like, the weird thing, like, the Wii U, like, almost all those games could be portable right now with what we have right now.
It's just a matter of code base, like, where you literally don't have to do any porting or recompiling.
Well, here's the thing now. If they do that, and they want to have, like, all games are portable in console games, does that mean that once again we're going to have a Nintendo console that isn't quite as, like, powerful as an Xbox One or PlayStation 4?
Probably.
Right, but I mean,
unless it goes the other way, where we get a crazy powerful handheld.
But it's almost kind of for, like, a better reason, though.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'd be okay with it in that case. If that's the justification.
When you look at, like, the way things have kind of been, where it's, like, you have, like, the Mario Kart game on the Wii and the Mario Kart game for the DS and 3DS, and it's like they're not really very different. It's just like, I guess we have to make separate ones. And even like Smash Brothers is like the one for 3DS and the one for Wii U.
Right.
Maybe this is what this might be the smartest thing Nintendo has said in a while.
Yeah. I mean, although the only funny thing is it's technically fewer software sales, because they can only sell you a game once now, unless God forbid they do sell them separately, even though they're the same game.
No, but I still think I think that's still smart. I don't think that's a problem. You don't see Netflix complaining that people only have to buy their service once and, like, not multiple times to run it on Xbox and PlayStation.
Maybe this becomes a good foundation for that Nintendo-Netflix thing, where even that's just on one system.
Because that's kind of the big complaint. People are kind of sick of buying Nintendo games over and over again. If there's one unified virtual console...
Yeah, unified virtual console, unified OS...
Because, like, yeah...
That's like, why as we talk more and more about this, yeah, you're right. I'm seeing this as really,
like,
smart.
Why should the next Mario Kart not just be for both things, you know? Yeah. Like, why should there have to be separate things again? Yeah, I think this
and
is smart.
And especially, too, because then presumably they'd be cross-compatible.
Oh, very easily.
Multiplayer-wise and everything.
Yeah, even getting the 3DS and the Wii U to, like, have the same, like, concurrency thing took effort.
Yeah. Just get that all one thing.
Yeah. I wonder...
Now I'm just going to start spitballing. Yeah, like, everyone kind of jokes, like, how the PS4 was kind of like designed by a Westerner and it kind of shows. I wonder if that's not for the console itself, but just for all the software, if they need Western development, at least strongly influencing it, especially in the online space.
Software?
Yeah, like me, I mean like the software of the console, the OS.
Oh, okay.
The OS.
Yeah, you don't really see a lot of strong Japanese OSs created, huh?
Yeah, I mean, look at the cross-media bar on the PS3. That thing was not great.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of that's an interesting point, I suppose.
I feel like that because, you know, maybe then they finally get an online system that works with a unified billing account. You know, you could, you know, if your 3DS breaks or you buy a new one, you could download your games again without having to do a system transfer.
Well, that's the thing now, too, is if we do this, it can't just be 3DS right away. There would have to be a new sort of portable.
Well, that's the thing too,
and that's kind of that's kind of what stunts it too, is that you don't want to kill the 3DS right now.
No. I think this is a ways off because it has to be a new portable and a new console,
right? So I think 3 years at least.
Would this idea eliminate the concept of a two-screen handheld?
If you're gonna
have true parity between the two,
not if you keep the tablet controller.
I don't think they're gonna keep the tablet controller.
It might, but how big it's sort of weird.
You know, you can't really do touchscreen, I guess, because then again you lose parity.
That the second screen has been nice for a lot of 3DS
games. Yeah, but I feel like it wouldn't be the end of the world if it's gone.
No, I guess not. I've been kind of used to it, especially for things like Pokemon and even just, I don't know. That's interesting.
Now, do you think you open up the possibility where?
And what if the...
Wait a minute, yeah.
What if the portable system is just a controller?
I was just going to say the same thing.
It doesn't matter.
What if like, the two combined sort of becomes what the Wii U is? So, if you have a game, you could play it by itself on the handheld, you play it by itself on the console, or you pair up the two, and you get, like, second screen function. Maybe not as deep as what you get on, like, a DS game or even a Wii U game.
There's a lot of possibilities.
Which I'm being very vague on there, but... I like this.
There's a lot of things it can do.
I like where this can go.
I don't think they're going to get rid of two screens on their handhelds anytime soon.
No, I guess this is 5 years out, I think.
Is their next handheld not going to have the 3D thing?
No.
Dude, I like the 3D
thing. I do too.
Everyone poops on that 3D. Even like Bravely Default, I think it looks nice. I always kind of keep it on at least a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what I do, really. It's like I always keep 3D on a little bit, not to like... that max, because the max setting is usually obnoxious, but...
I usually do. It depends on the game. I turn it off in Pokemon, because I hate how it switches back and forth.
Yeah, Pokemon
and
was
the
weird.
Frame rate drop in 3D was rate, really weird, too.
Zelda was, like, the best, because, like, the frame rate was, like, always smooth. So. Okay, so what else is going on?
Whoa, hang on a second, real quick. That would mean, in theory, if all this happens... we would get a console Pokemon game.
That's like one of the things. Like, now you can have a real fucking Pokemon game on
and
the
a
system.
Console Fire Emblem. And
also, this is one way you can have third-party games on the fucking Nintendo system.
Yeah. Because
everyone makes 3DS games.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, it'd be kind of nice to, like, easily switch back.
You could
like,
sell them separately. You could sell them as a bundle.
It'd be kind of nice, for instance, to play Bravely Default sometimes on the system and sometimes on your...
Yeah. Make sure, like, there's a good, seamless way of syncing your save file.
That's kind of the thing, that's the kind
of... That's like I said, that's what I feel
problem.
Like you need that Western-developed OS.
Right, that's kind of the problem. It's like, it has to be something nice.
Like, you just need to throw Dropbox in there, but like, yeah. I like where this is going. Okay. I'm officially on board.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
What's next? I was going to ask you what you want to talk about next.
Oh, you want to talk about Square Enix making money.
Well, just very little bit, because they're finally making money again, and, I was just kind of happy because the reason why is, oddly enough, Final Fantasy XIV, which is one of the reasons why they started losing money.
Yeah, it's very funny.
But it's very... because I just find it very funny to think that they could just... It seems like it doesn't have much of a precedent. We're just going to remake the game, and all of a sudden we're going to be making money. Star Wars Galaxies tried it, but didn't really, like, hit.
Yeah.
I remember when, like, they tried to make
it
more streamlined.
They didn't, like, remake it. They just kind of... It was just a tweak.
It was a pretty big tweak.
It was a big tweak, but it was a tweak. I mean...
It made it
you
more
WoW-like. You didn't play Final Fantasy XIV OG at all.
But I know it's supposed to be very different.
It was terrible.
I guess I wish I did now, just so I would know the difference.
Yeah, and that's it. I wish I played more of it and paid more attention. For example, like, one thing I can remember, in Gridania, which is, like, the kind of foresty city, you know how you walk out the south gate that's right by the tavern, you just kind of walk out. In the original version, before you could walk out, you had to walk across this, like, 100-foot-long bridge before you hit, like, the gate that zoned you out. And there was nothing on that bridge, but it was there. And it was just long. And you did it every time.
Right.
Well, it was stuff like that.
It's weird, because, like, I guess, like, a lot of it was, like, it was trying really hard to be unconventional, but in all the wrong ways.
Well, and the other thing it did,
like, it didn't have
really
traditional
bad.
Quests. It was all those leave quests or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing it did, too, is it handled everything server-side.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, like, were trying to rearrange your inventory, you'd, like, click and drag and drop, and then you'd have to wait, like, 2 seconds till the server caught up to it and actually did the move. Goofy stuff like that. It was all just poorly planned.
Right.
But they turned it around, and they were
rewarded for
their efforts.
It's really impressive. It's one of the biggest sort of redemption stories in gaming I still go back and play it. I haven't been able to play a whole lot because I was reviewing Bravely Default for like a month, so I haven't played it. But yeah, it's pretty awesome how they kind of turned that around drastically.
You saw what they did with the release date for the PS4 version.
What's that?
It's coming out on it's April 14th because it's PlayStation 4, Final Fantasy 14 in 2014.
Oh, really?
So it's 4/14 or funny. Whatever. Like, they had some weird way of putting it. It was kind of funny.
It's going to be really cool to see how that PlayStation 4 version of it is.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a big deal. And that's only going to bring up subscribers, too.
I know we're getting into the beta automatically because we have the PS3 version.
I think you get the game.
Was I right about this? That when the PS4 version comes out, we have an option to lose our PS3 access for PS4 access.
I don't know how it works exactly, but we definitely get PlayStation 4 access.
I think that's how it
goes.
And
I mean, I wouldn't, like, why not? If you have a PlayStation 4, why not lose the PlayStation 3 access?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, yeah, sure.
All right. Yeah, that'll be great. Like I said, I spent some time with my character last time I played it, very deliberately laying out my controller actions.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my combos all kind of flowed correctly and everything was in a good place. Just kind of getting ready for that. But yeah, like, I feel like I play a lot more of it when it's on the PS4 just for the convenience of it.
See, I feel like even when that happens, I'm still going to just play it on my PC.
I could see, this is kind of how I treat it, because I have a controller hooked up to my PC. But I'm just, like, out, like, leveling and grinding,
I
whatever.
I can't.
Yeah, like, the controller. But then, like, when you're in, like, a raid.
Yeah, I just can't imagine doing a dungeon with a controller.
Yeah,
you
need it.
There's so many things I have to do. So many possible buttons. I don't know. So what do you want to talk about with Steam, then?
So this comes from our community. Dami Anafwakan posted a link to a PC Gamer article that previewed this Steam in-home streaming. Are you familiar with this?
Well, it is what it sounds like, right?
Yeah, so the idea is, for it, like, the way Valve pitches it is, for the Steam machine, if there's a game that you want to play that's not on Linux, you stream it from your Windows-based gaming PC to your Steam machine on your television. So this guy's been using the beta of it, and he thought very highly of it. He said it worked remarkably well.
I know.
All that.
I don't know. I'm still skeptical of streaming of any kind.
Well, it's just the thing is, like, what the article asked, and what Dami asked, was, well, if that works so well, why are they selling a $3,000 Steam machine? Wouldn't I rather get, like, my good gaming PC that I probably could, like, spend $2,000 on, and then just get, like, a $100 box to put under my TV that just streams?
I mean, it is the weird thing about this streaming stuff. If it ever does, like, become a seamless thing, it's going to be such a black hole in the high-end PC market.
Well, no. But it's not... It's not streaming like Gaikai or OnLive.
It's just streaming your PC.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. Yeah, I guess.
So,
well, yeah, for sure. But, yeah, it definitely makes the Steam box relevant.
Right. It was funny, because there was this article I saw on Google Plus a couple days ago. It was for a $170 Chrome box, but I kept reading Steam box for some reason until I, like, finally realized, like, oh, I'm an idiot. This is Chrome OS.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it was a $170 box, little tiny PC that, you know, had HDMI and Bluetooth and all that stuff. And I wondered, like, okay, well, can I take this computer, wipe out Chrome OS, load Steam OS, and make that the streaming thing?
I guess. I'm still skeptical.
I just wonder, like, if that machine had, like, how powerful does a Steam machine need to be to run the streaming?
It comes down to personal experience, because like I always read articles where people talk about how streaming is great. And then like I even when I tried to like play Assassin's Creed 4 on my Vita from my PlayStation 4 in like the same room, it was just a mess.
Well,
like, it just never works for me. I don't know why.
But... And I'll tell you why. Because your PS4 is not wired; it's Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we don't
have like a top of the line router. We have an okay.
Yeah, but
router.
We have an all right. I feel like we definitely have what it's probably in that median.
Right, we have a typical router.
Yeah.
If I spent some time like running cable through the drop ceiling to your PS4 and like setting this up a little more properly, it probably would.
Yeah,
work
but
better.
I mean that's like me and you, and I have advantage because like you know more about this stuff than far more people. I guess some average jack off guy. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know why I had to call him an average jack off guy.
Yeah, that was really mean. That was really mean.
Really personal
Not
stuff.
Not cool, man.
Yeah, you know. You want to hear about EverQuest?
Yeah, tell me about EverQuest.
I'm in the alpha for EverQuest Next Landmark. So which this is like the Minecrafty thing.
Yeah, this is like the MMO right. Minecraft with voxels.
And yeah. And I'll just start by saying it is very alpha-y.
Yeah.
Very alpha-y.
Yeah, that's okay.
There's a lot of things. Well, the problem, though, is that I guess like one of the things people could buy when they pre-order a game was alpha access.
Uh-huh.
Kind of a mistake. Because it's like...
You think it's going to give people a bad first impression?
Well, for
like,
sure.
It's so broken that, like...
But, I mean, it's just... It's overcrowded. Because it's just, like, anybody can buy alpha access. So
oh, really?
They're not controlling like people. So, like, you know, like, one of the things is that you plant a flag and you kind of, create, like, a square that is your area, right?
Yeah, like, where no one could screw right. with you.
But space is at such a premium.
Well, you have a hard time finding
it's impossible. Like, I found
something... You think
they just... I walked to the edge of a map and got this, like, a desert. Well, it's barren. It's just desert. There's nothing in it. That's my area.
Now, can you
it took
make
me four hours to
something?
Find it. I could build, like, structures out of wood, but I can't change the landscape necessarily.
See, I wish, like, why couldn't it just be, like, what kind of land type do you want? Forest? Desert?
Well, that's
and then be like, okay, here, we found
well,
you one.
That's the thing. Yeah. It is kind of, like, it's very much, like, I almost don't know why you have to have an avatar in this version of it.
Yeah, it sounds like far and away, like you're trying to like stick your flag, and are you a boomer or a sooner?
Yeah.
And you are a sooner, sir. You're cheating,
right? But that's like you have an avatar, like it's an MMO. You're still walking around.
And you don't know why?
Yeah, because it's like it's so cause, like the creation stuff is cool and it works pretty nice.
Now, when you go into creation, are you still the avatar? Or do
you're
you
always in
it?
Creation, basically.
So,
it's like you have a hot bar, and like your things are like the pickaxe or like the the axe.
Well, I mean, that's what Minecraft is.
Yeah, or you just have, like, the add tool and the deletion. It's like, it's a lot like Minecraft.
Yeah.
You know, it is kind of what it is.
Well, but, I'm sure 2 or 3 years ago when like, the Minecraft alpha's first out, someone at Sony was like, huh, I have an idea.
Right.
We've got an MMO property we're not doing much with.
No, I mean, it's cool, I'm fine with it, but it is sort of it makes me wonder, like, how much of a problem this is going to be where, like, people want the space to build things, but like it's just going to be at such a premium, it's going to be hard to find.
Well, and again, once EverQuest Next comes out proper, mm-hmm. I wonder if Landmark will begin to die down because it's that thing that we see with all these games. More people
want to
consume
than
create.
Yeah, but I mean the tools are pretty easy. But
now, yeah. do you understand how the stuff from Landmark gets into Next?
No idea. It sounds like. And who knows when, like, that alpha's happening? Cause,
well, it's whenever that... I think that game's supposed to be out in the fall.
Oh really? Okay, but...
Or maybe beta
starts. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
something.
Does the game just take place in, like, this weird... Because, like,
from
where we are right now seems to only serve a purpose of...
Creating stuff.
Gathering materials and creating. So I don't know how you can put any other kind of game around it.
I think, because I just remember reading about this when they first announced it months ago. Like, you make something in Landmark, and then you somehow, like, submit it... to the EverQuest team or something, and they curate that stuff.
So it's not literally it's not literally a shared world.
No. Like the stuff that they kind of vet goes into the actual MMO.
Okay.
The idea is kind of why should we hire 100 people to make an MMO? We could have 30 people make an MMO and get everyone in the world to make assets for us
for
free.
No, it makes sense. Like I said, the creation tool seems solid,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, just other awful like, bugs. I mean, like it's like your character can, like, he's, like, doing that weird thing where he's, like, he doesn't want to stay on the ground. He's, like, jerking up and down. Yeah, yeah, it, like, makes me sick. I'm like, oh, God. And just, like, things are popping in and out. I mean, that's Alfie stuff. None of that bothers me as much as, like, this weird, like, you just can't find a good place to call your own. Like, where I am right now, it's fine. Like, I have a place, whatever, I can build stuff. But, like, if I want to go find wood, it's like a trek. But, it, you know, it's interesting.
How's it look? I haven't played something with voxels in ages. Except for, I guess, Resogun, but...
It doesn't look super voxel-y, really. It looks fine. It doesn't like, have, like, that retro look that you associate with voxels, necessarily.
Well, that's kind of cool, then.
Yeah, it looks fine. It looks sort of like a lot of them. It looks like Guild Wars or Wild Start has that kind of look to it. I've been playing a lot more Hearthstone now. It's in open beta.
Great game.
Yeah, it's super fun. I actually built a pretty solid deck, and I've been getting up my rank.
What is your main?
Mage, which, you know, sounds sounds boring, because that's, like, the one you start with. But it is one of the better things,
abilities
right now. There's a lot of things you can do with it. The only thing I have a hard time with are these, what I like to call, Warlock Rush decks.
How do those work?
Well, because, like, the Warlock special ability is that they do 2 damage themselves, and they can grab a card. So what a lot of Warlocks do is they have a lot of low-cost cards that specialize in, like, summoning other minions or stuff. So a lot of, like, Murlocs and stuff like that. So before you can even get set up, they'll have, like, 6 Murlocs and win.
Oh, jeez.
Basically. So, yeah, those Murloc Rush decks are hard right now.
They'll get nerfed eventually.
I don't know if it needs to be nerfed. It's a viable strategy. Yeah. It's just, it is what it is.
I believe they said that their policy on that game, instead of nerfing stuff, they're just going to introduce counters.
Sure. And it's not necessarily that it's unfair. That's not what I meant. It's just that my deck is not good against that strategy. So that's what I lose against.
I see.
You know, it's like, yeah, it's kind of like the paper, scissors,
rock
thing.
Have you gone into the arena in that much?
Yeah, I always get that first try at the arena, the free one, and I always do terrible. But you even still
I
get
like
something.
The concept where it's like the draft method of building your deck.
I had fun, though. Like, I just very luckily got a legendary card in one of my first packs, which is Ragnaros, which is, like, one of the better cards, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's pretty cool. But yeah, it's a fun game. I mean, we played that Pokemon trading card game when we were little, so we kind of have that, like, card game DNA in our blood. And I love these digital card games because...
It's just, you don't have to manage stuff.
Yeah, it's nice.
Like, remember playing the Pokemon game? We had, like, well, these blue things are damaged, and the yellow ones are poison.
Right, and we like to play Magic a lot, even. But even when you play Magic, it's like you always have to have that rule book, and you spend half the time looking up rules because you're not quite sure, and even still you're confused, and it's just kind of nice to have this. Plus, it's nice that the energy source is not a card itself.
Yeah.
That's why you can have 30 card decks, because usually in Magic and Pokemon you have 60
half
card decks, and half of it is energy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's nice. I've still been playing a lot of Bravely Default. Still been a great game. It's long.
Yeah.
You know, it's longer. It's taken me much longer to beat than any actual Final Fantasy I've ever played.
That's cool.
And that's why I was kind of surprised. I said this in my review. It's more Shin Megami Tensei, like, length to me. Where it's going to probably be, like, that 70-hour range.
That's wild.
Yeah, and, like, there was no Final Fantasy game that took me a little bit more than 30 hours to beat.
Huh. Hey, speaking of how long it takes to beat a game, did you see...
Yeah.
That Ground Zeroes takes, like, 2 hours to beat?
This is what I'm saying.
That's exactly what I was afraid of.
I've been saying this. This sounds like this should just be a literal prologue for...
Or at least a free demo. I mean, it's $40? No.
I mean, you got almost most of the tanker mission as a demo, and it was probably maybe a little less. It was an hour instead of 2 hours, but still, God.
Yeah, that's nuts. When I read that, I got mad.
I just don't get why. I think he's doing it. I mean, there's the super cynical reason where it's just he realizes he can release this and make money off
it. Yeah.
Or he, like, is, like, super, like, insecure about the fact that it's going to take a while before people complain anything.
Well, that's what he says. His whole thing is...
He wants to get people to play something.
Yeah, I want you to have something to play, so I'm being super nice and letting you play this for $40.
No, just make the game, release.
Especially
it
when you know that you could get the last-gen version for $20.
Well, the digital last-gen version for $20. Well, that's the thing. $40 to get this on next-gen, it's like... And I get mad at myself because I'm going to get it because I want to see...
Okay,
because I like this series. Yeah, fuck you. But...
Yeah, it's that's goofy. That's really
I don't know. Maybe it'll be a really good 2 hours.
And I mean, supposedly, like, there is some more side stuff, but that takes it to 4.
I don't know. I really think this should have just been one thing. But, I mean, it's hard to judge it right now. But I'm just, you get that bad vibe about it.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's your worst fears confirmed.
Right, pretty much. Okay, so what have you been up to?
So I finally got started on the Banner Saga.
Before you do that, this kind of leads into it, because I did beat Metal Gear Rising.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How was that ending? Was it ridiculous?
Oh, it was fine. It was, yeah, sure. It was about as silly as you would expect, I guess. I do have to eat some crow on that, because I was so down on that game, but I ended up having a lot of fun with
it. That's good.
Yeah, I did kind of learn to, like, you know, stop worrying and love the bomb.
I think that is the trick with
that
game. You have
to kind of embrace it. You're like, all right, well, it's fine. You know, this isn't ruining the other Metal Gear games. It's ridiculous, sure. But, you know, it takes itself a bit seriously in kind of the right ways. It hits its tone better than I thought it would. You know, maybe that's what I like about it, actually, is that it's stupid, but it's pretty consistently stupid. Yeah, it's not like Metal Gear Solid 4, where, like, some guy is shitting in a can one second, and then the next it's like we're talking about global information managing.
Right.
You know, it's a bit more consistent with its tone. And the combat system was pretty, it was entertaining throughout. It was a fun system. So, yeah, I actually ended up largely enjoying Metal Gear Rising. So, yeah, I'll eat some crow on that, because I was super against it.
Right.
But it was fun. Okay, sorry, Banner Saga.
So this is, you know, for those of you who don't know, it's a Kickstarter success story, a strategy RPG. It's such a great pitch. This is why I back this. A strategy RPG that stars Vikings done up with hand-drawn animation in the style of Sleeping Beauty.
Right.
This game is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this game looks so good. Because that's exactly, like, you know, the backgrounds in Sleeping Beauty?
Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it had a very distinctive look.
Yeah, it had, like, there was, like, geometric shapes, but they were, like, cleverly hidden with, like, natural components in them. They nail that in this game. Absolutely nail it. Character design's great. The world is very well realized. The basic backstory to the world is it's this kind of, like I said, it's like a Norse sort of thing where there's humans and there's these guys called the Varls. They're these, like, the giants with, like, the horns coming out of their heads. And there were gods in this world who literally fought each other until they were all dead. So all the gods are dead.
Oh, no.
And then for some reason, after that happened, not immediately after, but the sun has just stopped. It's up there.
Oh, really?
But it's just stopped. And no one knows why. So, there's these, kind of golem sort of creatures. Not like my precious golem, like rock golems.
Oh, okay.
You looked at me funny. I was like, no. Like stone golems.
Okay, right.
That are, like, attacking.
Like Shale from
Dragon Age. Yeah. Except, you know, not as nice.
Shale was kind of apathetic. I don't know if he was nice.
Well, he wasn't trying to kill you.
Fair enough.
So that's, like, kind of the whole story setup. When you're playing through the game, it goes back and forth between your battles, and then all the story bits, it's kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure, where you have dialogue that happens between all the characters, and you have to make all these choices. For example, there's this girl who's in my party right now. She's not particularly strong. So you kind of get in that situation where, like, you know, the creatures are attacking the village, the one guy is like, you two, go to the town and warn everybody, no, we can fight! And then you have to be the one telling him, no, do what he says, go to the town. Or, okay, yeah, stay here, but stay close to me. And, yeah, you're going to get an extra person that fight, but they're pretty weak. So you got to really babysit them, because if they die, they die.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
That's cool. How Fire Emblem-y is the combat?
Not very. Okay. It's much more akin to a Final Fantasy Tactics.
Okay.
So you've got your isometric view on the grid. And this is where the Varls come into gameplay-wise. They take up a 4x4 space in the grid. Whereas humans just take up a 1x1.
Okay.
So they're physically bigger.
Are they much stronger?
Generally, yeah, but they're slower.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're so big, it's actually hard to maneuver them because they often get in the way in a weird way. So everybody has shield and strength. And strength is your health. So because your strength and your health are shared, you know, the more damage you take, the less you're doing.
Okay.
But the shield protects you from getting hurt.
Okay.
So when you attack an enemy, well, do I want to whittle their shield, or do I just want to go right for their health and try to knock them down? Then, you know, everybody's a different class with a different active and passive ability. You have, I think they're called endurance points you can use to either power up an attack or do your specials. Super, super good gameplay, and like I said, it's all hand-drawn animation.
It sounds like so. Like,
it looks
now.
Great.
Is this going to be a PC game now and forever, or is there going to be like an iOS version? Or
I don't version? Think they've said. Okay. I don't think so. I mean, it's PC, Mac, and I think Linux. But yeah, it's great.
Cool.
Really good.
Yeah, it sounds like something I would enjoy. Mm-hmm. I need to probably check that out.
Oh, and then the other part too is it's got a little bit of that Oregon Trail thing where you do have your caravan. You have to manage your supplies.
Oh, really?
Choose when you're going to rest.
Oh, wow.
But resting takes up more supplies, but that's how you heal people.
Is that fun, or is that, like, one more thing?
I haven't done enough of it yet, but I like it.
Okay.
It's just great, because you see that shot, because there's, like, you know, your characters in the caravan, but then, like, there's the other people. Mm-hmm. So you see this caravan, the cart, your characters that are in your party are kind of walking in front of it, and it's just this trail of refugees and that big banner flowing in the wind. Looks really cool.
That's cool. Yeah, I need to check that out. All right, is there anything else?
That's really it for me.
That's it for me. Is that the show?
I think so.
All right, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Bro podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at Twitter and Facebook. You can go to our Google Plus community and join in conversations or send us anything you want us to talk about, like Danny did.
Yeah, we'll talk about just about anything, it seems. So.
Yep. So do that and go to the iTunes Music Store, leave us a review. Go to ebpodcast.com, find our old episodes, and we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye.